as we look into this, one of the questions we need to understand is, how do we show them? We just finished the book of Malachi, and we saw how every time God would challenge Malachi, every time God would challenge the nation of Israel and say, but remember when I did this, but remember how I did this for you, and remember this, and remember and they kept saying, but when did you do that for us? When did you love us? When did you show us all these things? And so what I want to understand is, you know, how do we show the world that God is still God? How do we show the world that they need God? And so when we look at this morning, I'm going to turn your Bibles, if you have not turned there yet, to Psalm 78. In this psalm, God gives us, I believe, what we need to understand. Now, this psalm was written by Asaph, so it wasn't a David psalm, but it was written by his musician. And so we see this song that is written. Again, all the psalms are songs that they sung either on the way to worshiping in Jerusalem or on the way from worshiping in Jerusalem. So these were songs that you would chant. You know, it's like the military to keep in sequence. You know, they sing these songs, and I learned the Greek alphabet to 10 little Indians. You know, you put words to music. And by the way, music is an amazing tool to reach the inner part of a man's heart. So don't ever forget, music is very important as we worship our God together. But here, this song is one that is going to be used to show us today how we show them. How do we live in front of them? And so it's a lesson that I think Israel needed to learn a long time ago. It's a lesson that we need to learn. The truth of the Word of God doesn't change. How it applies to our life doesn't change. How I live it out doesn't change. The only thing that changes is the culture in which I do it in. Everybody got that? Because the culture is changing church. The culture is changing how people live in their culture. And that is the worst thing biblically we could ever allow happen. We have to remain truth to the true Word of God. And so as we do that this morning, we're going to look into this Psalm 78 and see if we can put this all together in a way that allows us to understand. So the first thing we need to realize, we need to show them by praising the Lord. Okay? Now, I know some of you are of the understanding that we're not allowed to get excited in church. Well, I have broken that rule many times. Okay? It is okay to say a healthy amen. It is okay to say, preach it. Listen, you keep saying that and you're here all day. It's okay to get excited about praising God. Now, if you're going to praise the man that's standing here, don't say a word. Because it ain't about the man standing here. It's not about anybody who's standing here. It's about the God we represent. It's about the God we talk about. And so one of the first things we need to realize, how do we show them? We praise God. We look like we're joyful, right? We look like we're happy about being a child of God. You guys were making me nervous. This message is really good for today. We need to understand how important it is. And again, there are some who have taken that concept and gone far to the too far with it, and they get a little scary, okay? They get a little crazy out there. I'm not talking about that, but I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing wrong with saying, God, you're great. God, thank you. God, I thanks for the prayer answered. God, oh, if you hear something or somebody sings, praise God. Man, God has given you a talent. It's okay to praise God. And we need to understand that because there's three areas. Look at verse 1. Give an ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parable. I will utter the dark sayings of old, which we have heard and know from our fathers have told us. When it says in there the dark sayings, it's not the dark side, okay? It's not the dark side of this world. What it is, it's saying the things in the dark, the things that you no longer talk about, the things that are no longer around. He said, I'm going to talk about my God. I'm going to talk about the things that my father and my grandfather told me about how God helped them, about how God got them through. Now, remember, we're talking to a group of people who has had ancestries who walked across a river, sea, on dry ground. That's something to talk about, isn't it? We are dealing with a group of people who were stuck in the wilderness for 40 years, who never went thirsty and who never went hungry. That's something to talk about. Now, the question is, what do you talk about? What has God done? Listen, we need to praise God in how we talk about him and how we utter our voices to him. And the first thing we see, and we're going to show you some scriptures through here. Write them down. Turn with them with me if you can. But we're going to show you a few scriptures. First of all, we praise him in song. And I want to make that clear because we cannot let the culture determine how we praise God in song. Because what happens is, and I've heard this often, and you've probably heard it, and maybe you've attended some different churches in the process of life, and they're like, well, we need to change our music to accommodate the younger crowd. Oh, wait a minute. Are you trying to accommodate the younger crowd because of that's their culture? Or are you trying to accommodate the younger crowd to bring them in and show them Christ? You see, there's a big difference on how we do things. And what we're looking at here and what we're saying in song, turn to Psalm 150 if you have not already. And it's a tremendous praise psalm. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to the excellent greatness. Praise him for the sound of the trumpet. Praise him in the psalmistry and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. What a way to end the book of Psalm. And what I get from that is, y'all need to liven up a little bit. You need to praise God in his sanctuary. You need to praise God in the midst, and doing it right, I'm going to tell you, it feels good. You don't do it because, well, everybody's watching me, and I'm sitting up toward the front, so, hey, you know, here I am. No, you do it from here. If God stirs the heart, listen to the heart. If you're, all of a sudden, the song is being sung or a message being preached, somebody's giving you a song, and all of a sudden it hits you hard, you're like, oh, thank you, God. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to punch him. I'm praising him. You see, Scripture says, lift holy hands to God. And if we're somebody who says it's not right to lift hands, I question you're holy. It's not about the hands being lifted. It's about the holy heart lifting them. And so when we understand, how do we show them? We need to start praising God like he is truly the God of all wonders. Like he is truly the God who is exciting, and the God that is getting me through life, the God that is allowing me to experience the hardships of this world, and I can still stand up and still love him. That's the God we need to praise. We need to praise him in song. The second thing we need to understand, praise him in contentment. Oh, here we go. Philippians 4:11, praise him in contentment. Because in Philippians 4:11, Paul, again, doing the talking, Paul's saying, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therefore to be content. Content. Do we really understand the word contentment today? Now, we understand the word privileged. We understand the word of having all our freezer stock full and all our storerooms full and all the things we want. We understand having things, but do we understand contentment? Here's a definition about contentment. Contentment means I am content with everything as much as I am content with nothing. You see, it's not about the things. Contentment is an attitude of the heart. And Paul says, listen, I've learned. Boy, that's a hard lesson, isn't it? Nobody, it's almost like Romans 8:28, where God says that he's working all things to good. Man, we don't like that working, do we? Sometimes that working hurts. Sometimes that working's hard. But here, what we find is Paul saying in Philippians 4:11 is that I learned, listen, through my walk with God, through my first life as Saul, when I persecuted the Christians, when I made orphans, when I made widows, when I brought into prison all those innocent people just because they love Christ, I learned once God got a hold of my heart and then I had to suffer things for his name's sake. It's exactly what God told Ananias in Acts chapter 9. Paul was going to learn what it meant to follow him. And as he learned that, you know what that learning brought him? Not anger, not why me, not oh no, here we go again. Paul said it taught me contentment. Paul learned to be content in the hand of his God. Listen, that's true contentment, isn't it? That's because you know what? No matter what happens. You know, I love walking through life and saying, boy, you know what? I wonder what's going to try to knock me off my rocker today. I wonder what's going to happen that is going to try to take me away from my relationship with God. Listen, have you ever looked at life like that? Have you ever thought? Because listen, that means temptation, that means people, that means those thorns in your side, that means life, that means phone calls, that means doctor visits, that means aches and pains you didn't know you had muscles to hurt like that. All of that stuff of life, it comes into our life and all of a sudden we say, man, okay, that's the one that's trying to knock me off. You lose. I'm not changing. Listen, it's all about an attitude. And y'all have an attitude, trust me. I've seen them, good, bad, and otherwise. I've seen the attitudes. The attitude says, I'm going to be victorious in my God no matter what. That's how we show them. Listen, anybody can fall to temptation. Anybody can whine the blues when it hurts. God's children get back up. God's children move forward in life. You see, showing them a difference means showing them an attitude that belongs to God, not the world. Big difference. The last thing on this one I have is praise him in obedience, John 14:15. In John 14:15, it states, if you love me, keep my commandments. Simple, plain and simple, obedience. Those are the three things, excuse me, those are the three ways that you and I show them how we praise God. Excuse me. When we look at this and we see how they're praising God, we see it through song, contentment, and obedience. Listen, if you lived a day like that, if you went out into the workplace and you made this a priority in your life, if you went out in a work world and said, you know, I'm going to do my best to have these three things evident in my life today, man, you're going to have people look at you like, what is wrong with you? You're going to have people, how can you be content? Have you watched the news? How can you listen to anybody? How can you understand truth? Have you listened to people around you talking? That's all right. I'm praising my God. That's all I need to do. It's amazing. And listen, this is not something that only the biblical characters can do. If you believe in what we just remembered, the Lord's table, by all the love, the power, the joy he has given to you and I, he came into this world to seek and to save those who are lost. He came into this world that our joy may be full. He didn't allow things in this world to fill our joy. He came into this world to fill our joy. Big difference, big difference. And as we understand that and see that, listen, how can we not praise him? Really, you know? How can we get so bombarded? How can we get so down? How can we get so upset and depressed about things in life when we've got Jesus Christ giving us the strength to be able to overcome? You see, that's the importance that we find in our God. The next thing we need to understand is by remembering the strength of our Lord. Remembering his strength. Because, you know, he didn't give us just a little bit. God, when we accepted him and he became our Lord and Savior in our heart and life, he poured out everything he owns to us. Man, that's exciting, isn't it? That's exciting. I mean, I realize that life is hard and life hurts, and I'm not being naive to think that we don't have those emotions, that we don't have those pains and struggles that we got to work through. But we need to work through them because God has the power for us to work through them. We can go beyond some of the events in our lives because God gives us the strength to move forward with those events in our life. And that's the difference that I think we, as what the world needs to see in them. But again, that word remembering, remembering the strength. Look at verse 10. We're going to go skip a couple verses. Now look at verse 10. They forgot what God had done for them. Verse 10 says, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of the fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zion. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through it. He made waters to stand up in a heap. All of those things that we had mentioned, all the things that he's talking about in Israel's life, in Israel's history, how can you forget that? How can you forget the amazing things God has done in your life? How can you forget the day that you came broken, sinner, to an empty cross and said, God, here I am. Save me, take me, fill me. How can you forget that? Don't forget that. Because that will give you the hope and the strength to move forward on the days that are really, really hard. Really, really difficult. But I remember, God, I used to act and respond this way, but God, I used to talk and be like this, and God, I used to hide down into my comfort zone. Do you know the hardest thing about bringing an addict out of addiction is you got to teach them what another comfort zone was all about. Because in an addict, that is their comfort zone. That is where they lost all their worries and their struggles. That's where they gave it up. That's where they didn't have a care in the world, and life was free. Life was great. But that was their comfort zone. Listen, you and I need to change our comfort zone. You and I need to not look at this world and all that it offers as our comfort zone. Our comfort zone isn't in what the world has. Our comfort zone is the fact that Christ came and died and loved us and redeemed us. That's our comfort zone. And whenever I am stressed, man, I had a really good day yesterday. I went out to the woods. I spent all day walking the woods. I loved it. Almost got lost, but it didn't matter. I still loved it. It was fun. Because when I'm out there, there's nobody. And you know, the hardest thing is the worst enemy that I have in this world today, and he's a mean one. This guy will tear me up every chance he gets. This guy will write things about me that are terrible. And this guy is me. It's me. And so when I get alone with me, man, there's some battles going on, I'm telling you. But I know I'm victorious in Christ. That's the one that needs to win. That's the one that wins the battle. And so when we see this forgetting what God has done and not realizing all in their life, all that God had done for them, it's very important. Because the next thing we find, he sustained them. We see that in verse 13 through 16. He divided the sea, caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand on heap. Daytime, he led them with a cloud, and in the nighttime, he led them with a fire. He cleaved the rock and the wilderness and gave them to drink out of the great depths. He brought the streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. God did all those things for them. How could they have forgotten? I look at Israel and I think, I cannot believe you blew it that bad. You know, and then I start remembering. Then I start thinking back. Then I start looking about last week and the week before and the week after. And I thought, you know, how? Why? Why did I blow it? Why did I end up there again? Why did I say that? Why did I be there? Why? Listen, the same thing happened to Israel is the same thing that happens to you and I. We forget. We forget what God has done. We forget what God has done for us. We forget all the things that God has walked us through. We forget all the things. And that's why God says, you forget everything in your past, but you remember this. You remember what I've done. You remember what I brought you from. And I'm going to tell you, when you do that on a daily basis, it gives you the strength and the ability to stand strong for the truth of the Word of God. And that's what it's all about. That's what we're here for, right? That's why God's still giving you breath right now. You stand up to God and you say, God, you know what? I don't want nothing to do with you anymore, God. You're tempting God to just go beep. Listen, he doesn't have to do anything dramatic like a Mack truck or anything else. All he has to do is say, you're done. And you quit breathing. Why do you want to tick him off? Why do you want to make God mad? See, that's what Israel did. And that's in Malachi. That's why he became silent for 400 years. Because they did not listen to the God. The next thing we find is, what has God done for you? It's a question I want you to realize. Question you need to answer today. I challenge you to go home this afternoon and start writing things down. From the moment that you were saved, or even before you were saved, maybe God gave you that mom or that dad who was a godly upbringing. Maybe God gave you that grandma. Maybe God gave you that aunt, uncle. Maybe God had a person in your life that continued to encourage you towards the truth of the Word of God. Do you know that was God's way of fulfilling his promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13? No temptation has overtaken you that is common to man, that God has not made a way out. You know that way out sometimes comes in grandma. That way out sometimes comes in mom and dad, even though we didn't listen to them. Sometimes that comes through a song. Sometimes that comes through a message. Listen, God is big enough to use whatever he wants to use, whenever he wants to use it, for you and I to realize he wins. With him, we can see how people around us, maybe there's somebody that has encouraged you through a really rough time. Maybe there's somebody that has uplifted you and helped carry a burden for you, as Galatians speaks. Those things, write those things down. Because I'm believing that when we write them down, we're going to really start remembering some awesome things about our God. The third thing, we show them by testimony with him. Our testimony with him. You see, he goes on to say, and going back up to verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should not make them known, or they should make them known to their children, that generation to come might know. So in verse 5, we find a testimony that is being given. Tell them what God has done in your life. Proverbs 22:6, train them up in the way that they will go. When they are old, they will not depart from it. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I know that there are children of mid-age adult that just ain't getting it right now. They're just not getting it right now. And as parents, as grandparents, we pray for them. We encourage them. And the only thing that we have to go back on, that we have hope on, is that one, God is in control of it. Two, we trained them. We trained them. And you know, as long as we know that we trained them, listen, by the way, none of you did it right, okay? I didn't do it right. None of us do it right. But we do the best we can, and by God's grace and thankfulness, he picks up the pieces that we drop. But there are children out there that we wonder, what are they thinking? They got caught up in their culture, didn't they? They got caught up in the custom, culture, and creeds of their generation. And listen, by the way, let me encourage you. You are going to do nothing about it. There's nothing you can do about it except continue to pray for them and find hope in the fact you trained them up. Because Scripture says when they're old, they'll come back. We don't know when that old is. You may not be alive when that old happens. But trust God, because he says you train them up, they'll come back. That's our hope, knowing that God is in control of their life. God is in control of them. And there is testimony after testimony of grandmas and moms praying and never really seeing the fruit and passing on to heaven. And then all of a sudden, the one they were praying for gets it. Oh, that's exciting. I'm telling you. That's a trophy of grace, isn't it? That's exciting when that happens. But they never got to see it. But you know, on earth, it doesn't matter. Because according to Scripture, when Paul was translated in heaven, he saw, I saw those who I knew aforetime. Oh, grandma and mom's going to know. They're going to know and rejoice in heaven. And I'm going to tell you, that's exciting, isn't it? Oh, man, I can't wait to get there. Train them up. Next thing we find, 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. Teach them how important this scripture is when we understand the way in which we need to teach them. Because in verse 15, it states, and that from a child, speaking to Timothy, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. What's the only wisdom you and I need? What's the only thing that we need to say, I have got to have this wisdom? Salvation in Jesus Christ. Because everything else fits into place after that. Everything else seems to work after that. That's where our joy comes from. That's where our help comes from. And then it says in verse 16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, it's all about salvation. It's all about the scriptures. How do we show them? How do they know? Important is, why is all this important? Listen, there have been many individuals who have sat up late at night crying for their kids, crying for their grandchildren, crying, and I all the time, where is our world headed? I feel so bad for the grandkids, for the kids that are being raised in a world that's yet to come. And listen, we have no idea what it's going to be. We have no idea how bad it's going to be before God decides to go to his next step of plan. We don't know what you and I will go through, but I look at this. The first church back in Jerusalem, the first church, the first believers, what did they go through because of Christ? They all died. They all got martyred. The apostles, except for John, got killed because of their life in Christ. Those Christians got ousted out of everything. They weren't able to set up their tents and make a living. They weren't a part of the group. They weren't part of anything. They truly had to depend on Christ. And I really can't believe that we're going to get out any better, really. And that's exciting to me to know that you and I are going to have great opportunities to show them. The harder our world gets, the more evil our world gets, the more important it is to show them who he is. You see, that's what we need to be concerned about. That's what we need to be struggling and trying. First of all, so that may know him. Look at verse 6. The generation to come might know them. Even the children which should be born should rise and declare to them and their children. Declare what? Who he is. What he's done. How he's got them through. The next thing we find, not only that, is so that they might set their hope in God. Verse 7. That they may set their hope in God. You see how intelligent I am? Put these notes together. I mean, it's scripture. It's plain. It's easy. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Don't forget the works of God so that they will not forget and keep his ways. Listen, that's how we show them. That's how we make it work. It's very clear and plain in those two verses. Verse 6 and 7 are the reason why you and I as Christians need to get back up. You and I as Christians cannot let our past failures and our past decisions determine who we are today. There's a very good reason. There's a generation coming behind us. They need to know. They need to understand how important it is that you and I know that God is real. That's one of the things that we talk about a lot about who he is. We talk a lot about all that he can do. We talk a lot about how he helped everybody else. But when you and I live a life like we truly believe, if I had to cross the Red Sea, he parted for me. Or if I had to wake up into a bad situation, that he would get me through. Or that I all of a sudden lose my job and the economy market completely crashes. And now what's going to happen to our money? Money, money. Who cares? You got a God who said he's going to get you through it. It may not be the prettiest way that you think. But you know what? I haven't found a verse yet that God wants to know your opinion. Okay, just saying. God hasn't got a verse in there about your opinion. God says, I'm the one who created you. I'm the one who sent my son for you. You can have an opinion, but you ain't going to tell me mine. That's what God says. God's promised that he will take care of us. It's not about the things in this world. So what do we do with this? What is our takeaway from this today? What does your praise look like today? Is it all just here? Is it all just here? But do you have a praise that comes from the depth of your soul because you believe that there's a God that is bigger and better? Where does your praise come from? How do you praise your God? Second question, is your mind focused on him or what he has done for you? Is your mind focused on him and what he has done for you? How easy do our minds go to the events of the day? How easy do our minds go to the agendas and the tasks, and I got to get all this stuff done. And listen, I've seen more people running from task to task. I thought I was the only crazy one. There are people today, I mean, literally, hey, how you doing? I can't talk now. I got to go. Now, I never take that personal. I just think they're busy. Maybe they mean it personal. I don't know. I just take it busy. They don't want to talk to me, you know. But I think they're busy, so I'm assuming they're busy. And as they're busy, they don't even have time to stop and say hello without running to the next thing. And so, you know, we need to be careful. Focus on him. Focus on what he's doing. And watch your day get better. Third thing, last thing this morning. Does your testimony tell his story or yours? What's your life tell him? What does your life tell him? What did the people around you, and if you would be brave enough to ask the people around you, what does my life story, what does my testimony of who I am tell you? Start asking some people around you. You may be encouraged, you may be disappointed, but I think if you're brave enough to ask those questions, you know what you're going to realize? You're going to realize that I'm forgetting my God too much. I'm forgetting him too much. I got to be focused more on who he is so that I can live the life he wants me to live. Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning as we study together. I pray that you continue to use this time of study, of use this time of preaching your truth to encourage. It's not a downer message. This is an encouraged message that you are faithful and just. You are faithful to complete to the end. You are a God of organization. You are a God of structure. And God, you want us to, yes, we'll take the bumps and the bruises of this world, but God, you want us to show people around us that you're still alive, that you're still the God that the scriptures talk about, and you're still the God who is willing to use everyone and anyone for his glory. And God, I pray as we just ponder that today, think through the process. God, may we be able to answer those questions today in a way that will bring us closer to you. God, we just uplift it to you in your son's name. Amen.